Mary, it sounds like farmers can, by using a microscope, they get more in control of growing a decent crop, I suppose, more in control of inputs, reduce the inputs. Have you sort of found, is that a fair statement, and have you found that to be a case with your clients?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, knowledge is power. And if someone can go and take their soil, make up a little solution, put it under the microscope, and have an idea of how to count what's there, because that's also on the website. There's a little data, qualitative data sheet that they can just download, and they can do their own counting, and then they can go and, you know, use an organic product or use a compost or a compost tea. And then they can go back sometime later, take that same soil again, and compare their results with their original baseline results and say, oh, look, you know, here I can actually see a difference. And so they can actually do all of that themselves. Now, if they want it quantitatively, where they actually get numbers, then yes, they will have to send it in to me. But they can actually talk to me on the people who register. What they do is they'll send me emails, because I say, if you register on that little site, you can send me as many emails or have as many phone calls as you like. And they call up and they ask, you know, I can't get the light correct on my microscope. What am I doing incorrectly? So we have a discussion about it. Or I'm seeing this and I can't see it on your website. I say, well, gosh, take a photograph of it and we'll get it on the website, because it's not there. Someone else might have seen it. So what they do is they become more and more confident of being able to compare what they had with what they're going to. And it works. And so they say, well, okay, I know I put on X amount of compost tea, or I put on some amount of biological product, and this is what I'm seeing. Then I say, well, if you have a look at your soil, we'll have a look at the differences, then you'll see what's actually happening in the soil, and you'll understand why your plant is greener, or you'll understand why your silver beet's the size of a giant tennis racket. So they can actually see what's happening, and that microscope service that we give helps them to do that.
Now, as this conversation has gone, I've sort of directed you in a sort of unintentional way about cereal cropping, but Tony Evans, who's in the Western District here in Victoria, he's been working with SFI for many, many years, one of the few compost people who've worked with Soil Food Web Institute, that is, and he's found that of all the dairy farmers that they looked at, their soil had no mycorrhiza, a fungi, yeah, in it. So the point I'm bringing up now is that where we've been talking about, like, cereal farmers, your services actually work with any sort of farmer, whether it's a dairy farmer or horticulture or whatever, because we're still talking about fungi. Is that a fair statement, or I've just come up with?
No, absolutely. Because even if they're a backyard gardener, it doesn't matter. As long as they're growing a plant, I can help them. And the thing is, just going back to what you were saying with Tony and the farmers were finding they didn't have any fungi. I would say, well, okay, two things are happening. They've used lime, urea, and superphosphate.
All of that, yes.
And so they've killed all their fungi.
Oh, and then they'll spray it a broadleaf weed as well.
Exactly, they use a herbicide, and so they kill more fungi. They may well be tilling the soil, so they damage more fungi. Everything that's happening in that management system is killing the fungi. And if you don't have any fungi, then you don't have a nutrient cycling, particularly of phosphorus. And it just is the system is destroyed. It cannot function. And so then the plants don't grow well. Why don't they grow well? Because they're not accessing the right amount of phosphorus. Why are they getting disease? Well, they're getting disease because they're not healthy. And so you take fungi out of the equation, and you can never have a sustainable cropping system. It doesn't matter if you're only growing lettuce in the backyard. It can't happen successfully. And then you get disease. And so then they start to do something about the disease. No, you don't do something about the disease. You do something about the soil, and then you minimize the disease. You don't get disease.
Mary, what the extraordinary thing is, while you've been talking, I was sort of thinking, well, why are more farmers doing, going down this particular track? And it comes to mind that basically there's two types of scientists, ones that work for various companies and even universities, etc., where they're driven to have commercial products and commercial input products, whether it's a commercial spray, whether it's remedy to help the farmer to be more efficient. You're a different sort of farmer, a different sort of person, or a different sort of scientist. You're sort of working completely on the, I'd sort of say, the cause of the matter rather than trying to work on the remedy. So would you like to sort of make a comment on those sort of sweeping statements that I just made?
Yeah. Well, I guess it's what's happening in the particularly in the university system that I'm coming from. Companies with vested interests are asking for research to be done, you know, whether it's a tobacco company or whether it's an agricultural supplier like Monsanto. And I do not go down that line, because being a farmer myself and being a scientist for 40 years, I want to be independent. And I don't believe, as Elaine Ingham, actually, in the same situation, we are there to have the farmer understand his or her system and then to make decisions that will allow them to look over give them knowledge to look over all of the products that are available, whether they want to stay as a conventional farmer or they want to go down a biological pathway. We say, here is the evidence of either the benefits or the alternative, you know, the damage that all of the products that are out there on the market can do. Now, with that knowledge that we have given you, it's up to you to make a decision. And you can come to me and ask me, do I think lime is helpful? And I'll say no. Then you'll say, well, is there a biological that I can use? Which company do I go to? And I'll say, no, I'm not going to tell you which company to go to. I'm going to tell you what products are out there, and then you go and source the one that you think is most appropriate to you. But I'm not going to be a salesman for any company and say, this is the product that you're going to use. Because that product, in effect, unless you actually understand how it's going to work, you need to do some investigation yourself. And I have, my whole career, I have remained independent. Now, I do a lot of work with companies, label rate validations. I do experiments where I'm trialing lots of different products that are out there on the market. But I don't then go out and say, you're going to buy this one or you're going to buy that one. I say, this, under this set of experimental conditions, these products were as good or better than, say, a conventional product. I will never sell somebody's products. All I will say is, these are the products that are out there on the market, and under this set of circumstances, you would need to look at a biological that does this or that. Under this set of circumstances, you would need to look at a biological that does something or other else. And they're out there. Go source them. I will never sell somebody's products, and I make a point of always doing that. I'll work with companies, but I will never go out and tell a grower to buy a particular product. I will tell them to go out and buy a biological that does something or other.
Well,
does that make sense?
The situation. Oh, yes, yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah,
if somebody has a well, let's talk about powdery mildew, for example. A colleague of mine at Adelaide University had a student who looked at milk products knock down powdery mildew in grapevines. Now, any sort of milk, a 10% solution will knock down powdery mildew. That's one product. It doesn't cost anything. You've got it in your fridge. There are other products out there on the commercial basis from commercial companies that have fungi in them, that have bacteria in them, that will do the same thing. And so you can use milk, or you can use a product that has fungi in it, or you can use a product that has fungi and bacteria in it. They're out there, and they'll knock down powdery mildew. You've got to decide as a grower which one you want to have a look at. Now, if you want to come and talk to me about how they work, yes, you can come and ask me how they work. I still won't tell you to go and buy a particular product. I will tell you to go and buy a product. In your circumstances, you may need a fungi and a fungus and a bacterium, for example. The products are out there. So that's how I function.
Thank you, Mary. Mary, how easy is it, or how hard is it for a farmer to sort of change? What are the steps change to a more biological way of farming? And as you said in the Oxley presentation, biological farming is the only way to go. We covered the doing a soil sample, but how hard is it, or how easy is it for a farmer to move into that direction if they are completely reliant on all these chemicals to produce a crop or produce a grass for cattle or dairy cows or whatever?
Yeah. Well, it's one of those situations where a grower needs to get information. They need to educate themselves, and we do courses to do that. And there's a lot of stuff online. And there are other people out there who also do courses, so I'm not the only one. But what they need to do is to get information as much as they can, and then to get a lot of advice in the fact that if they've had a conventional system and they're wanting to go to a biological system, a conventional system, you can sit in the city and you can phone up a manager and you can get a company representative to come and put superphosphate out for you twice a year or once a year or whatever. Biological farming, you can't do that from an office somewhere. You have to be much more hands-on. And so there's a commitment that initially has to be made to be more hands-on. Then there has to be a set of chemistry and biology tests taken, and then an understanding that there may be a transition period. And during that transition period, depending on how much damage has been done to the soil by using conventional chemicals, there may be a period where some chemicals need to be used along with a biological system that will gradually transition through a year or two into a fully biological system. Now that all takes time, and it's a whole paradigm shift in that you need much more knowledge, you need much more commitment to be a biological farmer. But the thing is, to be a biological farmer, or to be a non-chemical or a minimal chemical farmer, it's the input costs are less. The quality of produce coming off is higher. Ultimately, as we run out of phosphorus and we run out of natural lime and sources and things like that, then what are the conventional farmers going to do? They've got to have an alternative. So biological farming is the only way to go. But it does mean that it's an education. And it's exciting, because what you're actually doing is going back to saying, this is what the planet has given us to work with, this beautiful soil that will grow anything, basically, if it's cared for. And so the farmer needs some education, some commitment, and then working alongside somebody, a consultant of some sort in biological field, and a laboratory like mine that can do the testing, they start to move. And it may well be initially they might just stop using superphosphate, for example, but still do other things. They might stop using lime and do other things. So there is a transition. It doesn't have to be an all or nothing. And it's a journey, but it's a journey that has to have commitment. And it's a journey that has to have the farmer saying, well, yes, I do want to get dirt on my hands. I'm not going to just sit in an office. So slowly, with knowledge and with commitment, and with a partnership with a lab like mine or a consultant who's a biological consultant, we can look at the soil, we can start to do the trials on small parts of the property, we can then start to build up the knowledge base of the farmer to be able to do a lot of the microscope work, for example, themselves. And then as they see from their test strips the results, once they see the results with their own eyes and they understand, they see it under the microscope, then the confidence to make that move is all the more powerful. And so I always say a farmer can move, but it's got to be based on knowledge. It can't be based on something that I'm telling the farmer. They've got to see and understand and commit themselves to making that move. So it can be done slowly with confidence. As the farmer builds up confidence, then the transition can be made totally. So the farmer can start by learning, by taking some courses or by reading, building up information, finding the baseline of their particular soils, then starting to say with someone like me or a consultant, doing some tests for a year or 2 years or however long it takes them to feel confident, then gradually moving the farm over as they see the productivity that's going to obviously come from that shift in paradigm. They can see with their own eyes, because in the end, it's the farmer has got to make a living off that property. And that's why I never tell a farmer what to do, because they've got to feel comfortable that they can make that move and that they're not going to lose productivity and that it is going to cost them less to actually make that move.
Now, Mary,
and it's doable.
It is. Mary, what can you just very briefly? We are going to be running out of time soon, and we don't. So, we'd like to keep this conversation down to about 1 hour. And Mary, what is? Can you? And we can go over it as well. What is the? What are some of the courses or the courses that you provide? And can you give a bit of a rundown of what the courses have looked like in the past?
Yes. Well. In the last 3 years, I've been working with Elaine Ingham. She comes out to Australia once a year now, and we run a two-week course that is a university sort of level, and it's in understanding biology, understanding compost making. So it's a much more in-depth course. That's run once a year at Berkeley College, and we have one coming up in August. And the registration forms are on my website. The other one that is run more often is a three-day course, or it can be a two-day plus 1 day, a three-day course, where the farmers actually make compost tea, and spend 1 day learning how to use a microscope. Now, that three-day course is done with us. It's also done through SFI Lismore in New South Wales. And they're very popular. And what happens there, a group of growers will get together and say, Mary, we want to run a three-day compost workshop. Can you come to wherever? And we go to them. The other thing that we do, and those information about that's also on the website. The other thing that I do is if there's somebody wants a one-on-one on how to use a microscope, then I also do that, and I'll say, if you've got a microscope, bring it with you. and I'll teach you how to use that microscope. If you haven't got a microscope, come and have a look at what I've got here and learn how to use them, and then decide that, yes, you are sufficiently interested. Then you go and we talk about what you can afford in terms of a microscope. You go buy one. So we have a whole series of courses that we can provide. But what we try to do is, apart from the 2-week course when Elaine comes out here only once a year in August, the others we try and make them as adaptable as possible to the people or the groups who want to use those get that knowledge. So we'll go to a group of 8 to 15 people. We will go to them if they would like to do a course.
From this conversation that we've had with you is that what I'm just want to reinforce with farmers is that it is more economical to farm biologically, and it's more profitable. And the other thing is that it's the control that the farmers put back into their on their own farms, rather than relying on some external control, external influence.
Yes.
They would use a laboratory like yours.
Yes.
And as you moderated that, you say you'll still train farmers so they can do things on their own farm.
As much as possible.
Would you like to sort of sum up on those particular points?
Well, I think what is important is that chemical farming is not sustainable, because we're running out of the raw materials. We're running out of the sources of phosphorus. We're running out of the sources of calcium. The soil provides the microbiology to be able to source plant-available nutrients if we allow it to do that. In the future, it's going to become increasingly expensive to farm in the conventional way. Farmers are getting increased costs, but they're getting reduced farm gate costs. So what they need to do is reduce the input costs, increase the quality of their product, and then they have control then of the quality that goes off the farm. Because they can't do anything about the cost of electricity or the cost of fuel, by farming biologically, they can reduce those input costs on their farm, and they can increase the difference between their input cost and what they're getting at the farm gate. And that's what biological farming is all about, and it also is increasing quality of not only the product that comes off the property, but it's also increasing the quality of the soil so that farming can go on for generations rather than for just this generation.
Mary, one thing that would come up would for me, and others comes up in the conventional way of farming, is that you could lose productivity if you sort of move away from the conventional farming. But you've sort of covered that in this previously, we've covered this in this talk by saying you can do things progressively.
Yes.
Would farmers lose productivity if they venture down the way of biological farming?
I can't think of one reason why they should. There is no reason why there should be a loss of productivity, because by putting on chemicals, all it's doing is giving an initial boost at the time that the chemicals put on. 90% of the chemicals washed into the waterways anyway, or lost. It's not used by plants. And so as long as it's done carefully with knowledge and progressively, for example, by testing different systems, trialing different systems on their particular enterprise, the productivity doesn't go down. But what also is being found is that the quality is going up, and therefore the farmers are being paid more on quality than on productivity. So they're gaining in two ways. They're even if the actual, for example, the tonnage doesn't increase, they're gaining on increased price because of nutritional value of the crop. and in some cases they're increasing volume as well. So it's really the increase that they get from the increased quality, and this is happening in the wine industry. They're getting better price per ton. It's happening in the wheat industry where they're getting paid on nutritional value of the grain. The volume might not be bigger, but the quality is better. Therefore, the farm price is better.
Mary, we have to not have to, but we will call it call this thing to an end. So I'd like to. Mary, you might like to sum up anything you particularly want to say to the farmers in brief, in sort of summing up.
Look, what it is, it's important that we start protecting our soil, and that we actually can produce enough food from biological systems to feed the world, and it's going to cost less because conventional farming is going to start costing more. So we have to look at quality of produce, which is what will come from biological farming. And farmers need to say to themselves, yes, I can do this. There is information out there to help me. There is labs that are independent like Mary's and others that are there to help me. All I have to do is come on board and start to trial and experiment and be committed, and then with knowledge, be brave and able then to make the transition.
Mary, thank you very, very much. We will say goodbye to the people online who have listened to us, and also thank the farmers, thank our farming group. Mary, I'd particularly like to thank you for coming online and spending this amount of time talking to us and our farmers. And I'd like to thank the farmers who have put in questions. Thank you very much, Mary. And another thing too is that there will be with you allowing this to happen. We did break up your talk at the Oxley presentation in two categories, and with your we will be putting out the second DVD of your talk. And hopefully you can come back online after we do this again and have another chat to our farmers.
Oh, if you would like me to, and if they're interested, yes, I would love to. Yes, thank you for the opportunity.
So it's a goodbye from me. And
okay, yes. Bye.
Bye-bye, Mary. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you very much.